Hello, welcome back to the Matt Pfeiffer Experience. I am your host, Matthew Pfeiffer, and today I have on a very special guest. Her name is Trisha Morales Padilla, and she is down here in Texas with me. She's just a little bit further south down in San Antonio. She's someone who I ran into on Instagram. You guys know how things work here on the Matt Pfeiffer Experience. We love interviewing divorce attorneys, people who I would trust with not only myself, but also that I would recommend to friends and family. And she's someone that I've enjoyed her content, someone who I would highly, highly recommend. She doesn't just deal with divorce. She also deals with criminal law, estate planning. She is very diverse, someone who I would consider a Swiss Army knife. So, and for those of you who are going through a divorce, that is something that you might want to consider, because as you might know, a lot of times divorces kind of cross over into other areas as well. So sometimes having someone who has expertise in other areas of law might benefit you a lot during these type of circumstances. So thank you, Trisha, very much for hopping on. Thank you very much for being a part of the Matt Pfeiffer Experience. I'm going to toss it over to you. Tell us a little bit about you and where you're at and how you got started.
Yes, thank you for having me. So I am in San Antonio, Texas. I have been licensed since 2013. We've had a practice down here, and I graduated in 2013 from St. Mary's here in San Antonio, and I initially began doing criminal and family law. And did that for several years until COVID, when COVID kind of put a halt on criminal. And, you know, people started skyrocketing in the divorces because they didn't want to be quarantined with their spouse. So then our practice kind of shifted more from 50-50 to mainly divorce, as well as with probate, really was kind of shifted through COVID because we were dealing with probate on the back end. And then we kind of shifted through COVID to deal with, let's plan some estate planning on the front end. So now we're mainly estate planning and divorce.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because with me, you and I talked before the show started about how the quarantine and COVID, how it affected everything. One of the things I don't think that is talked about enough, and a lot of people may not know this, but during that springtime, early part of the year, that's what a lot of divorce attorneys consider divorce season. So it wasn't just the fact that people were quarantined with a sometimes abusive spouse, or sometimes just someone that you don't like or don't get along with. But there was a lot of people who put a lot of planning into getting divorced around that time. And so we had a very high influx of people who were going through a divorce, and people who listened to me a lot. And I'm sure you probably talk to people, give people the same advice, especially people who are going through a high conflict divorce, that you may not necessarily want to mention that to them until you're ready to leave, because things can get really, really nasty. Well, when the courts shut down, now everyone is, completely trapped with this person that you may have been trying to keep the secret. Can you talk a little bit about maybe that experience and, some of the cases that you may have had where people may have been kind of locked down with someone a lot longer because the courts were shut down? How did you guys maneuver that?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically what we did, and luckily here, being in San Antonio, Texas, we were affected a little bit differently in Texas through COVID. But here, and I will give some praise to the courts here in Bexar County, that the family courts really seamlessly transitioned onto Zoom. So luckily here, if there was some type of an emergency situation, we were still able to access the courts and the judges, maybe not necessarily by walking in, right? So it was a little bit of a steep learning curve for a lot of the attorneys to figure out how can we still get these, orders signed in these situations resolved. But a lot of it really, I think, was, the people who were wanting to get divorced kind of, trudged through the learning how to do the Zoom with everybody else. But I feel like what really kind of pushed people to their breaking point was just, not only are we maybe quarantined, right, with a spouse that we maybe don't have the best relationship with, but when you throw on top of that, we have to stay at home to do work and kids homeschooling. Mm-hmm. For those parents that I'm sure are out there, myself, luckily my kids were younger, but I wouldn't even know how to do that. And so that is really, I think, where people were like, very frustrated. And so you know, we really just tried to walk people through that as much as we could and let people know, because a lot of people did think that the courts were completely closed, which wasn't true. So as people were calling, we were letting them know, you know, obviously it's a little bit different of a situation. Unless there is, if there's an emergency, let's handle that. If there's not, we can walk you through it and let's, you know, try to handle this the best way that we know how, because a lot of times people call us for advice because we know what to do. And that was a situation where even attorneys didn't know, you know, we're learning how to navigate that for the first time. So it was definitely interesting, but we tried to help as many people through that as we could.
One of the things I love about you is that you actually started out in criminal law. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. I always say this in almost every single show that I've yet to meet a divorce attorney who started out and said, like, this is exactly what I want to do. I think everyone kind of backed into it. So I kind of wanted to tap into the whole criminal law, because I think that a lot of people who may have had a criminal history, even if they've made some changes, or maybe that they, you know, they've had history. And even if that was 10 years ago, a lot of times people might use that as a weapon in divorce, you know, especially in high conflict custody cases, that sort of thing. Is that something that you've experienced? And if so, what can someone do to maneuver that? If, you know, they're like, you know what, when I was 20 years old, I made some mistakes. Yeah. You know, it happened, you know, I did everything right since then. You know, but it's being used against me now here and today in court.
Yes. Yeah, so I do actually see that a lot where situations will come up where now we're going into a divorce and let's just use everything against this person. Normally, what I kind of let people know is, and I feel like the judges are kind of on this level too, is if you already knew about it and you either A, married this person anyway, or B, had kids with this person anyway, right? It's not going to come into play as much as you think that it will during the nature of a divorce. That being said, even if you're in the middle of a marriage with somebody and they get in trouble and go to jail for whatever it may be, unless it's domestic violence, because family violence has a little bit different ramifications on the kids, unless you leave right then, sometimes people come back and say, hey, well, they were in prison for, you know, a couple of years because of XYZ, but that was 5 years ago. So it wasn't serious enough for you to leave then. And so it's hard. It loses its oomph, right? When you're getting a divorce saying, hey, this is what happened, unless you're filing while they're in jail or in prison or because of that. Now, domestic violence has a different ramification as far as custody goes, but it kind of loses its oomph. And I do feel like even with the judges, you know, they're going to look at, when was this? Did you know about this? This was a long time ago. Nothing has happened during the marriage. And so they kind of consider all of that. And that's normally what I tell people kind of going into it, just to set their expectations that this isn't, you know, a smoking gun.
Yep.
I say if this that was all the 10 time. Years ago, you know, because a lot of times people knew about it. They're like, oh, well, I knew, but we got married and we had kids, you know, and then I just let them know you were confident enough to marry them and have kids with them that, you know, it just, like I said, it just kind of loses the sting when all of that's already happened.
So, Tricia, I wanted to kind of segue over into a question that a lot of people have that I don't think gets talked about enough. I know for me personally, whenever I'm working with someone, whenever I'm doing therapy or coaching with someone, oftentimes this doesn't get brought up until after the fact or right when people are in the middle of a divorce. What should people do with their debt? You know, a lot of times people have student loans, they have credit cards, all of these things that have happened like all throughout the course of a marriage. You know, what happens with all the debt in a relationship like this?
So Texas is a community property state. So basically what that means is anything that has been acquired during the time of the marriage, so from the date of marriage all the way through the date of the divorce, is considered community property, which means that it's generally split 50-50. Now, student loans are different. Those stay with the person who incurred them because you've got the profession that kind of goes with that. But generally, everything is split 50-50. So unless they can come to some kind of an agreement, which a lot of people do generally say, hey, look, we're each going to keep our own debt, then, you know, it'll just be split 50-50.
Now, what do we do in situations? What would you recommend that someone does? Let's say that someone is going through some sort of financial abuse where someone knows that a person is about to leave or someone files for a divorce. And then now all of a sudden, this person, you know, their significant other is taking out or, you know, running up the credit card bills, taking out second mortgages, purchasing cars, right? Knowing that this is how things are going to be with the intention of causing harm to their significant other. Is there anything that they can do, or is it just kind of the cost of a divorce?
So there's not generally something that they can do if their spouse is going to go out and get debt. But in the divorce, what happens as the attorney is we kind of look at what was taken out and what is it for. So for example, if wife is going to go and buy a new car, then in the divorce, she's going to keep the car and the debt. If, you know, the husband went out and bought a new home all on his own, then generally he'll keep the home and the debt for that because there's not any appreciation. Generally, there's not going to be any equity. Same thing with credit cards or loans. If we can kind of see, look, you took out a credit card and you ran up all of these bills. Part of the discovery process is turning over the statements. What did you purchase? If we can see that it's not used as community funds, then we can say, look, you're going to keep that debt on your own. So that kind of comes into play on the back end once you meet with your attorney and kind of talk with them. And you can see on the credit report, when was this opened? This was opened, you know, 30 days before they're trying to file for the divorce.
So it's something I'm sure that you see, but something I tell people is that when you're going through the process, this isn't going to be brand new. No attorney or judge is going to say, oh my God, they did what? And be completely shocked like they've never seen this happen before.
Correct. No. And a lot of times what I tell people is you're probably like the 10th person who's come in front of this judge with this same situation. I know that doesn't ever make it feel any better, right? To the person that I'm talking to say, hey, this isn't a unique situation. Hopefully they feel a little bit of a comfort in a weird kind of way that this has happened to other people, but we've had this situation. This is kind of par for the course. And a lot of times that's why the judges will look at, okay, you know, when was this taken out? Because a lot of times too, there's couples that have been separated, especially through COVID, have been separated for a year. So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll take what was the debt on the date of separation, even though it's a community property state, and then what has been acquired while y'all are separated. Because if you've run up all kinds of bills while you're separated, taking trips, going here because you're acting single, then we can try to say, look, you each keep your own debt after the date of separation. Now, sometimes you're separated, but one of the spouses is still paying the utilities, the mortgage. And so we can see that and you would kind of get credit for that as well. So generally, it's not a situation where it's a first impression by anybody.
I think, you know, I can almost feel like my listeners asking this question. Are things like income considered in a situation like this? Like if you have a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad for that matter, or someone has been the breadwinner and there's a significant amount of debt, maybe over the course, I'll let you answer it in two different ways. Over the course of a marriage with community property versus like, you know, there was a separation. Does that play a part into this, or is that a legitimate argument?
So it's always, I think, a legitimate argument that Texas does provide for like a disparity in the earnings. There's kind of two different scenarios where this plays out. One, when the divorce is filed on what we call temporary orders, because the court wants to make sure that the marital assets are continuing to get paid, right? Nothing goes into default, nothing gets repoed. Everything gets paid as it's been getting paid. And normally that's going to fall on the main breadwinner. So it's almost seen as like a temporary spousal maintenance, because in Texas, they don't call it alimony, even though we all use that term. It's called spousal maintenance, but that's while the divorce is pending. Once the divorce is over, Texas does not favor any type of spousal maintenance. If you can flip a burger at McDonald's, they will expect you to do that to just meet your minimum basic needs. And a lot of times what I explain to people is minimum basic needs is not how you're living today. It's can you find a one-bedroom apartment anywhere and take the bus? So it's very hard to get spousal maintenance in Texas. Now, obviously, if you have kids, you're going to get child support, but Texas also looks at what are you walking away from the marriage with? So if the husband is going to buy you out of your home and you're walking away with $50,000, they're going to say, well, then that's enough to kind of either go to school, get an apartment, get a job, and let's start getting this going in the right direction.
One of the things I always say, and one of the reasons why, like I kind of transitioned into interviewing divorce attorneys specifically on this podcast, is I always say that divorce attorneys give some of the best relationship advice. And so I wanted to ask you, like, when it comes to all of these different types of things, whether someone is going into a relationship, a second marriage, or maybe they're considering their first marriage, what's the best way that you could advise someone to set it up to where, you know, not that we're preparing for divorce, but that they can protect themselves. I'm a big fan of prenups. I'm a big fan of, you know, I tell people all the time on this podcast that, you know, all marriages end either in death or divorce, and we need to be prepared for both. Right. And so what would you recommend in terms of people handling their debt, in terms of their setup, you know, to kind of protect themselves, but also ultimately protect the marriage and the relationship as well?
Part of it is just kind of going into the marriage, you know, open-minded in the sense that, just like you said, it's going to end either in death or a divorce. And you know, I'm not opposed to anybody having a prenup. If, you know, clearly, since Texas is a community property state, I see where people are like, look, we are not going to make any type of community property out of this. So that is one way to do it. I think the other way to do it is just as much as you can. And I know it's so much easier said than done, having open communication as far as, you know, what debt do we have and what is everything that we own? Because so many times people come into a divorce and they're like, I have no idea what kind of debt we have. I have no idea how much the mortgage is. And so I know that a lot of times in marriages, you know, you have the husband do certain things and the wife do certain things. And it is very difficult to be able to do everything, but you just need to know that when you're going through a divorce, right? Maybe you're the one who paid all of the bills. So you know all the bills, but you didn't get the kids ready for school. So you don't know how to do that. You don't know what their homework schedule is. You just need to be open to knowing you shared all of those things with somebody and you don't know how to do everything. And so there's going to be things that you're going to have to learn that you didn't know before. And then the other big thing that I always tell people is, if it's not set up properly, whether it be either through death or through divorce, the state has a plan for you, right? If stuff split 50-50, and one of the biggest things I always hear from people is that it's all about the money, right? Whether it be spousal maintenance or selling the house or the child support, that's the law. So if somebody is entitled to something, the law says they're entitled to it. And so I think people need to kind of get away from saying, oh, it's all about the money. Of course it's about the money. People have to survive. And so we just need to know, look, if we don't have a prenup, it's 50-50. Mm-hmm. There's no point in spending attorney's fees to try to keep retirement away from somebody when they're going to get it anyways. Right. It may be a pain in the ass, but it is what it is. And so I think just kind of knowing that going forward, you know, that people want to try to kind of talk through it and work their way through it. But it's like, if you could have done that, you probably wouldn't be getting a divorce, right? Mm-hmm. So I just think people kind of need to think about that stuff.
I also think that people have to consider the fact that, you know, you're allowing for people who were not part of this marriage to make some pretty quick snap decisions on things that they don't have all the nuance about. And also, one of the things I used to work in the legal system, and one of the things I tell people is that they, even if they agree with you, they have to abide by the law. Two completely different things. They might 100% agree that you deserve more or less or whatever the case is, but the law, the system, you know, dictates a lot of what that decision is going to be. And so if you don't want that to happen, then it's important to plan before, to, you know, just like the saying goes, you know, a person who fails to plan is planning for failure. So if you don't want someone else deciding what that outcome is going to be like, then, you know, you're going to have to take a lot of those things into your own hands.
Yes, I 100% agree. And, you know, I'm always a big fan, you know, as much as people want to agree to it, of mediation. I know a lot of times it's hard because, like I previously said, if we could agree, we probably wouldn't be here, right? But in right. mediation, that is your last shot to have any kind of a say over what your compromises are going to be or not. Going to a judge, they're going to do whatever they want to do. You know, either whether it be within the law, whether it's not be within the law, maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe, you know, I've had judges where they have said, you know, based on my own situation, this is why I'm doing custody this way. You know, so I think, you know, having as much control as you can over what you're going to settle for or compromise for is always the best. But I know it's difficult.
Tricia, this has been absolutely amazing. You are an absolute wealth of knowledge, and I'm glad that you're actually here in Texas with me, because whenever I get people, I can just refer. I love people in state. I love all my divorce attorneys, but we can just send people your way. And whenever I meet someone in state, it's just easier to transition that conversation. But tell people who are in the state of Texas, or people who want to connect with you or refer people to you, where can they find you at? You know, are you on social media? I know you're on, obviously, on Instagram. Are you on TikTok? We have a large base on TikTok. I think you have a podcast too, is that, if I'm not mistaken, but tell us where people can find you at.
Yes. So we are on Instagram at Morales Padilla Law. We do have TikTok. That's under Trusted Family Lawyer. That is a lot of estate planning and kind of planning for life and legacy there. I do have a podcast that is on my website, just kind of giving people little snippets. I think each one is maybe less than 8 minutes, just little snippets of information, because I know when people want information, they want it now. So I kind of tried to break it up into categories. So maybe if the category doesn't fit you, then you don't have to listen to that, but it'll give you a little bit of information as well, just if you're going through a divorce and different things to consider if that falls under your situation.
So all of her information will be down into the show notes, but regardless of where you're listening to this, or regardless of where you're watching this, make sure you guys go down into the comment section and let us know something that you, a takeaway that you may have had, something that you may have learned from Tricia or from this episode. Let us know, and be sure to also go to all of her links and everything. Make sure you guys give her a follow, make sure you guys support her, give her some love and attention, and also absolutely refer her to any of your Texas-based people. Do you only work with people here in San Antonio, or do you work with people Dallas, Houston?
So for divorce, we just do like Bexar and surrounding counties, but if it's for any type of like estate planning or life and legacy planning, we're able to handle the whole state.
Okay. All right. So keep those things in mind whenever you are preparing. But I think this, even if you're in another state, I think this is a conversation that you can take to your attorney and kind of see what your state statutes are. So thank you very much. This is the Matt Pfeiffer Experience, and I will see you in the next episode. You guys have a good one.